Why is it that people I know and love see no beauty in Jesus at all? But you opened my eyes so that I do. Why me? You will never answer that question except in these words, in His great mercy.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think all of us can identify with what we just heard. There's been times in our life when we looked at what God has done and how He saved us. We've asked that question, why me?
Yeah, why me and not someone else? Yeah. And that is always a question to lead us to worship. I find that myself, Steve, that I keep coming back to this, that being a Christian, it's more than my background, more than my upbringing. Other people who've had the same background and upbringing do not love Christ. So why should I have come? Is it just that I'm better than somebody else? Absolutely not. In the great mercy of God, He has laid hold of me and has reached into my life. And every Christian will say this. Every Christian knows that in some sense, God has laid hold of him or her. And it is a work of God. And that's what leads to worship.
And that's what we're going to see as we continue a message we began last time. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always catch up when you come to our website. It is openthebible.org. But our message is called New Birth, and we are in 1 Peter chapter 1. So grab a Bible and meet us there. Here is Pastor Colin.
Birth happens to you. There's not a lot that you contribute to it. And when you realize that the only explanation for this miracle in you is ultimately the mercy of God, it will leave you with a sense of awe and of mystery and of wonder and of worship. Why me, Lord? Why is it that people I know and love see no beauty in Jesus at all, but you opened my eyes so that I do? Why me? You will never answer that question except in these words, in His great mercy. God has been merciful to you. Let that lead you to worship. Now notice the results of this new birth. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now notice that this living hope that He speaks about flows directly from the resurrection of Jesus. So it's important to keep these two phrases together. When Peter talks about living hope, he's not talking about a more optimistic view of life. We're not into the psychology of mind games here, creating your own reality by being more positive in your outlook. Now, we sometimes hear motivational speakers become very common in these days in the world of business. They say many good things, and they'll often speak like this. Think positive, and then you'll act positive. Fill your mind with positive thoughts, and so forth. And what they're saying is that if you think in this positive way, you will create a new reality around you. Now, that may be good psychology, but it is nothing whatever to do with Christianity. And it is very important that we understand the difference. There's a lot of confusion at this point in our time. Look at what Peter says. The living hope that Peter speaks about is not the hope of more positive thinking or outlook. It is directly tied to the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus broke the power of death. And through the new birth, what Peter is saying is that the victory of His resurrection touches you. God has brought you to share His triumph through your new birth. Death has no hold over Him. He's gone through it, and He's ascended, and He's on the throne in heaven. Death, therefore, can have no hold over you, nor can Satan, nor can sin, nor can hell, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, no wonder, Peter says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You thought you just made a new decision to a faith? Let me tell you what's happened. In his great mercy, he's given you new birth. And in that way, he's brought you into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's almost worth an amen, and it's only for the first point. It's only verse 3. Look at what he continues to say. Not only have you been born anew, you are kept by God's power. Verse 4. You've been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And that's kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Now notice here that God keeps two things. First, God keeps an inheritance for you. You've been born again into the family of God. And because you are a child of God, you have been born into this greatest of all families. Therefore, you share as a family member in the greatest of all inheritances. Being a member of God's family, you have an inheritance in heaven, and God will keep that for you until the day when Jesus Christ comes again in power and glory, and he gathers all of the family of God into God's immediate presence. God has a place in heaven for you. The reservation is made, the price of it has been paid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That inheritance has your name on it. And when you see it, you will not be disappointed. But secondly, God not only keeps an inheritance for you, notice that he keeps you for the inheritance. You are shielded, he says, by God's power. Now, wouldn't it be a tragedy if God kept an inheritance for you, but somehow you didn't make it to heaven to enjoy the inheritance? Well, now Peter says that's not going to happen because those who have faith in Jesus Christ are kept by Jesus Christ. You are shielded by his power. In other words, your final salvation does not in the end depend on the strength of your grasp of Jesus Christ. It depends in the end on the strength of Jesus Christ's grasp on you. If my salvation ultimately depended on the strength of my faith holding on to Jesus, I would be very doubtful about it. But finally, Peter says, it does not depend on that, but it depends on the strength of Jesus Christ holding on to you. His hands are much stronger than my hands, and that is the basis of Christian confidence and humility and assurance. Now try and get this beautiful picture. Think of the two hands of Jesus. The hands that were pierced for you and for me. And in one of them, he holds an inheritance for you. And in the other, he holds you for the inheritance. And these things are held in his strong hand, Peter says, until the day when he brings the whole family into his immediate presence. And on that day, he will bring what he holds in his two hands together. He will bring you into your inheritance. And you will not be disappointed.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Birth. Now, we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast or you just want to find out more about this ministry, I want to encourage you to come and visit our website. You can stream the program or download the program for free through the website. You can also check out our daily devotional, which you can both read and listen to. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, and so much of it is absolutely free. I hope you'll check out the website. It's openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
You've been born again, and you're kept. Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice. Though notice the honesty of the Bible, he goes on immediately to talk about the trials, the sorrows, and the suffering that we may experience in the Christian life. And he makes this point, which is so important, that your trials will show that your faith is authentic. Look at verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, if you have something that might be of great value, you will want to know for sure if it is authentic, and you will seize any opportunity that comes your way to prove it. That is why the Antiques Roadshow, of course, has been such an outstanding success. The experts arrive in the city and people come from all over the area bringing their antiques, and they're asking the question, what is this worth? They want to know, is this genuine? Is this thing authentic? Because if it is, I'm rich, and if it isn't, I'm not. I think that this might be a Ming vase. Could you please tell me, is it authentic? There's an eagerness when someone comes with this kind of question. Now, your faith, Peter says, is of far greater value than a Ming vase. It is of far greater value than a Rembrandt painting. Using the only appropriate category he can find, writing in the first century, Peter says, your faith is of greater worth than gold. Because gold, like every other created thing, will eventually perish. It will not last for eternity. But your faith, if it is authentic, will last for all eternity. So, this is something of incredible value, and the obvious question is, how can I know if my faith is authentic? You ever asked that question? How do I know if it's not just a passing phase? How do I know if I've got the real thing, the real deal? Well, Peter tells us, when you suffer grief, in all kinds of trials, you will have all the evidence that you need that your faith is authentic. And here's why. If your faith was simply a human decision or a passing phase or a religious interest, then as soon as you began to suffer, you would turn away from God, you would renounce your faith, you would spend the rest of your life either saying, as some people do, I could never believe in God. Or you would spend the rest of your life alternatively smoldering away in bitterness against God. Now, you know people like that, as I do. The big question is, why isn't everybody like that? Why is it that there are people in this congregation this morning who struggle still with unanswered questions, who have disappointed hopes, shattered dreams, who have lost loved ones, who have lost jobs, who have suffered illness or sometimes violence or some other personal catastrophe, and still believe in Jesus and still love him? How can that be? And there is only one answer, and that is your faith is a miracle. It is the genuine article. It is the seed of the life of God that has been planted within your soul, and it is indestructible. It is like a bulb that gets planted in the ground and dirt gets thrown on top of it and buries it, but it does not die because it has life in it. You've gone through all these trials. You've faced all these unanswered questions. You cannot even see Jesus Christ, but verse 8, notice how Peter puts it, you love him. You still believe in him. There can be no greater evidence of the authenticity of your faith than that. And just so you know, Peter says, that faith proved genuine through trials in your life is one day going to rebound and result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. One day, God is going to wipe every tear from your eyes, and he's going to say, "Well done to you, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy." Now, when you suffer grief in all kinds of trials, hold on to this. The fact that with all your unanswered questions and all your unresolved pain, you still love Jesus, you still believe in him, shows that you have something of infinite value. And you know, I think I can honestly say that I'm grateful for discovering that in my own life. Because if my faith wasn't the real deal, I'd want to find out so I can get a real faith before I go to eternity. Now look at how blessed you are, Peter's saying. You're born again. You are kept by the power of God. You do experience grief in all kinds of trials, but look what happens in this. It proves the authenticity of your faith. Nothing in the world is more valuable than that. And finally, Peter says, you have received what others have longed for. Very briefly, verses 10 to 12. Notice Peter speaks here about prophets and about angels. He tells us, verse 10, that the prophets were searching intently and with great care, and that they were trying to work out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when they predicted the sufferings and the glories of Jesus. He's reminding us that since the beginning of time, God has promised that he would intervene in human history to lift the curse and to redeem a people for himself. And all through human history, from the time Adam and Eve were evicted from the garden, there has been a search to know exactly how and when God would do this. The prophets spoke about it as the Holy Spirit gave words to them, but they did not understand the full significance of the words that they spoke. They longed to know more. They only saw it from a distance. Now, says Peter, you have come to know and love Jesus Christ. God's Spirit lives in you. You have been born again. You have what prophets longed for. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos would have loved to have what you've got in Jesus Christ now. And not only that, he tells us, verse 12, that angels long to look into these things. You see, the Son of God at the right hand of the Father never became an angel. But the Son of God at the right hand of the Father did become a man. Angels see the glory of God and they are servants of God. But in God's Son, Jesus Christ, you become his son, his daughter, a member of his family. There's a big difference between a servant and a son. And the angels look at this and they cannot fathom. What must it be for a sinner to experience grace? What must it be like to be forgiven and to know that you've been washed in the blood of Jesus? What must it be like for these humans to know that Jesus Christ has become one with them? What must it be like to be included in God's family, to be his son, and for his Spirit to dwell in you? You think angels have got one up on you? Well, sure, they see the glory of God. but they long to look into what's going on by the work of the Spirit of God in you. Now, do you see the breathtaking privilege of all of this? You've been born again. You're kept by God's power. Even when you go through grief in all kinds of trials, there is a demonstration in that of the authenticity of your faith, which is of more value than anything else in all of the world. And you have received what others have longed for, what prophets have longed for, what angels have longed for. You've got. And so it's no wonder, is it then, in verse 8 that Peter says, "You are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." Now notice he does not say, "Now you Christians really ought to be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." There's no use in that kind of message. What he says to us is, you are. When you grasp the full significance of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, you will be filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. What words that you could choose could ever express the dimensions of what God has done for you in Jesus Christ? There are none. Realize what God has done for you. You've been born again. You're kept by his power. In the greatest suffering and grief of your life, the authenticity of your faith is demonstrated, and you have received what angels and what prophets would long for. Everything that God has planned for mankind is taking place in your soul, and in the middle of it all, you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul.
An encouraging reminder from Pastor Colin today that without God's Spirit, we would be doomed for failure. But with his Spirit, we can't help but mature. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called New Birth. It's the first in our series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can also listen through our app, which is free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website. Again, openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but who's the book written for?
Well, if you have recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is certainly a book that was written for you. Or perhaps you feel that you need to get grounded in the basics of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian and to live the Christian life? Well, you know, there's a whole book in the New Testament that was written really to answer that question. And it's the letter of 1 Peter. It's just 5 chapters, so it's quite short. But what's significant about it is that while some of the other letters in the New Testament were written to particular churches, like the letter to Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians and so forth, this letter was just written to believers in general who were scattered in lots of different places. And by definition, because this is the early church, they were all new believers. And what Peter is doing in this letter is helping them to get established in the faith. It's a wonderful letter. And this book just takes a person through the basics of the Christian faith from the first letter of Peter. And I hope that it's going to be really helpful to many, Steve.
Well, the book is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? If you're not sure about that, you'll never triumph over temptation. Find out why next time on Open the Bible.